I also intended, when I made the give the welcome and made the announcements, to mention our beautiful flowers here in the pulpit. Sister Collins, I don't know if she did that herself or if she had someone to do it, but she was in charge of getting us some new flowers for the church. And they are beautiful, Sister Collins, and thank you so much. And I know all of us appreciate the pretty flowers. Okay. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Collins. Yeah, we love Sister Pella and Brother Henry. They were just special people, and we appreciate her thinking of the church in that way. I want to read a few verses of Scripture that will be found in the first chapter of the book of Luke. And I'll begin reading at verse 16, I guess, in the second chapter of the book of Luke. I'm still looking at the... It's in the first chapter, not the second. And it's the 26th verse instead of the 16th. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth hour with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. Now we've celebrated Mother's Day today in a very small way, but I wanted to talk about this. First of all, a mother is a term or a title that is used to describe a woman that has given birth to a child. But there's more to being a mother than just giving birth to a child. The term mother, or the title mother, is used also to express the influence and the impact that a woman has had in her life. And that term is called mothering. Mothering. It's one thing to be a mother, and it's another thing to mother children. The Bible calls Eve the mother of all living. That's what Adam called her. After God presented her, brought them together, he called her name Eve because she was the mother of all living. She was the beginning of motherhood with all generation of people in all countries, everywhere the world over. She was the beginning of motherhood. Sarah, of course, was the wife of Abraham. At that time, she was called Sarai. And God called Abraham to follow him. And Abraham obeyed. And he followed God. And God changed Sarai's name to Sarah. And he said of Abraham that he would be a father of many nations. And he said to Sarah that she would be a mother of nations. We'll go a little further in the Bible and we find Rebecca. Rebecca was the wife of Isaac. And all of you know that Isaac was, he was their son. And he was the one that God asked Abraham to sacrifice. And Abraham, by faith, he was going to do what God wanted him to do. And he had this kind of faith. He believed that God would raise him from the dead in order to keep a promise that he had made to him. Do you know God is that faithful? He is that faithful. If God made a promise, he'll keep his promise. He always has, and he always had. Anyway, Abraham was old, and Isaac hadn't found a wife yet. And so Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for him. And this is a beautiful story, and I won't take time to go into all of it. But I want to make a point anyway. Isaac went back to the homeland to seek for a wife for Isaac. And he had prayed and asked God, give me leadership, direction. Point me in the right direction. Let me find the right woman for to be Isaac's wife. And he drew near to a well. And there was a beautiful young woman. Her name was Rebecca. And she came down to draw water. And the servant of Abraham, he befriended her. He entered into a conversation with her. And the Spirit of God said to the servant of Abraham, this is the one. This is the one. And so he went home with her. And he talked to her mother and daddy. And he told him the story. God has sent me to get Abraham has sent me to get a wife for his son. And he said, I believe this is the one. You know. And so she agreed to go with him. And her parents were kind of reluctant. Don't you think they would be? They were reluctant. They didn't really want her to go. And so they asked her, will you go with this man to be Isaac's wife? And she said, I will go. And so they went. Her parents saw her leave the home place, riding on a camel, going down the road, and I imagine they probably looked as long as they could see, and she went out of sight, riding on that camel. And so they got down near where Abraham lived, and Isaac, he was out walking in the field, meditating. I suppose he was wondering what kind of a woman this man's going to bring to me. You know, will she be pretty? Will she be classy? You know, will she be homely? You know, but anyway, he was meditating and he looked up and he saw this caravan of camels that were coming. And at the same time, Rebecca, she was looking and she saw this man out in the field walking. And she said to the servant, "Who is that man that's walking out there?" And he said, "Well, that's my Lord's son." And so she was very modest. And she took her veil and she put it over her head. You know. And she lighted off of the camel. She jumped off of that camel. Now, normally, a camel get down on his knees, you know, for you to get off. But it sounds like that she is so excited she didn't have time to wait for the camel. She just jumped off of the camel. And she met Isaac, and he took her to his mother's tent, and she became his wife. And this is what the Bible tells us that her parents said. When they got ready to leave, their parents said, "Be thou a mother of thousands of millions." Now, you know, we could go back through history, you know, and there have been many, many people that have been blessed, not only through Isaac, but through Isaac's wife. You know, Isaac is the one, when God spoke to Abraham, he said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And that was a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus. He was of the seed of Abraham. You can run his genealogy back from the time when he lived here in this world all the way back to Adam. And you'll go through the genealogy of Isaac and Abraham. And so this was a prophecy. But they wanted her to be the mother of thousands of millions. I don't know how many people have lived on the earth since God formed the earth. But there's been a bunch of them, hasn't there? We go a little further and we read about Deborah. Now, Barak, he was one of the judges in Israel. They went through a period of time when they had no king and nobody leading them. And so they depended on the leadership of the judges. And they got in really a mess, you know. And Deborah, she stepped forth. She was called a mother in Israel. And it was because of her leadership role to Israel. And she assisted Barak, and that may be, it may be Barak, you know, instead of Barak. But you can pronounce it however you want to. But then we read, you know, those were all the women that we have a record of them doing good, you know. And benefiting the human family because of their lives that they lived. And then we get down to Babylon, you know, in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation and the 5th verse, Babylon is called the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. So your leadership and your influence can either be for good or it can be for bad. You know, and so I just wanted to call those things to your remembrance. Now we read where Abraham Lincoln, He was the 16th president of the United States. And this is what he said. I remember mother's prayers. I'm going to pause just a minute. Brother Kenneth Davis told me this. I may have told this before. I don't know if I have or not. I told it somewhere. He was helping me in a revival. And he went over and spent the night at my mom and dad's house and ate with them and everything. And they were talking. And they were talking about praying, you know. And Brother Davis said, well, I want you to pray for me. And my mother said to him, now this is what he told me. I wasn't there. I didn't hear it. But she said, Brother Davis, I pray for all the preachers. And she said, but when I pray for Billy, I get down on my knees. So I remember my mother's prayers. I heard her pray aloud many times. And Abraham Lincoln said, I remember mother's prayers. And they have followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother, he said. And he also said this, no one is poor who has had a praying mother. A lot of us have really been influenced in our lifetime by the prayers of our mother. I forgot who said this, but somebody did. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And that speaks of the mothering that takes place in raising children. The Bible tells us that we should raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What an awesome responsibility it is to bring children into the world. We have, you know, we want to give them a good education and we want them to prosper. We want them to do well. We want them to find good mates and establish their own home and give us some grandchildren, you know. And we want them to have everything materially that they need. But the greatest need that any of our children and grandchildren have is the need to be saved. Amen. That should be the first priority in every home. We should take advantage of every opportunity that we have to expose our children to the gospel. Now, there's a reason for that. We never know at what moment they will become accountable to God. Little babies are not accountable. They're not subject to the gospel address. They can hear it with their ears, but they have no idea what it means. And as long as they're in that condition, you know, they're safe under the blood of the sacrifice that Jesus made. But when they reach what we call is the years of accountability, their spiritual eyes are opened and they understand, you know, hey, I'm accountable to God for my sins. I'm not right in the sight of God. You never know what age that's going to be. It might be 6 or 7 or 10. With me, I was about 10 and a half years old when that hit me. I was sitting in Beaver Creek Church. I never had felt lost, never been condemned, had no concern about going to hell, never thought about whether I'd go to heaven when I died or not. But that day while the preacher was preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit awakened within me the knowledge that I was separated from God, and if I died like that, I'd spend eternity in hell. And so we don't ever know when that time is coming with our children. So it's important that we keep them exposed to the gospel. Keep them in Sunday school, in church. Raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that when that time comes, they'll know what to do. I don't doubt at all but what they're adult people. Perhaps there are none here, but there are adult people in the world. They have no idea what you're talking about when you're talking about being saved, or about seeking the Lord, or about whether you'll know when you get saved or not. How will you know when you get saved? You know, those are things that our children learn from not only their parents, but they learn it at church. They see, you know, it's one thing to hear, you know. You obtain a lot of information by hearing, but it's another thing to experience something. And you know, when you experience people under conviction and people seeking the Lord, and you hear people tell about how the Lord dealt with them, you know. Oh, it gives lots of information to children even. And they'll know when they get lost what they need to do. And that is to get saved. Anyway, I'm going to talk about Proverbs 31 just for a minute. I'm going to try to be short. I am. I took up a lot of time, you know, with all of this formality. But I don't regret it. I'm not apologizing for it. Because I think it was right to do it. But I don't want to be too lengthy. But in the book of Proverbs, the Bible said, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing." And I've found two good things. I've had two good wives, you know. But it wasn't accidental. You know, I wasn't satisfied to just go with anybody. I had been taught, you know, as a young man, that when you begin thinking about getting married, you need to think about what kind of a woman that you're marrying. And the same goes for girls. When you begin dating, you know, you need to think about what kind of person they are, and what kind of a character they have. What are their habits, you know? Do they go to church? All of these things are important. And so a wife can be a good thing, and a wife could be a bad thing. The same if you reversed it. You know, a man can be a detriment, you know, to a good woman, you know. So that's why we have to be careful. But anyway, we're reading the book of Proverbs. He said, and I'm going to have to turn over there, and that's all right. We'll just turn over there, and we'll read it right out of the Word of God. And this is what it says. It says, verse 10, chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? They can be found. They can be found. There are virtuous women. There are young women and young men who have been taught how to treat a woman. Men that have been taught how to treat a woman. And girls that have been taught how to treat a man. So, I want to say this. I want to talk to you young people just for a minute that are not married. This is important. When you begin to think about, you know, getting married, it's important for you to take these things into consideration. He said, a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. You can't put a value on a good woman. You can't put a value on a good woman. Now, don't ask for a raise, Mabel. I can't afford anymore, you know. But you can't put a price on a good woman. The woman that's going to be the mother of your children. Have you ever thought about that? You know, a woman that's going to lead your children away from God and out into the world. You know, that's not good. The same way, girls, with finding a man. You don't want the father of children, your children, to be someone that won't go to church, won't take them to church. You know, they lead them away from God, take them away from the house of the Lord all the time. That's not good. That's not good. Anyway, a virtuous woman, the Bible said, the heart of her husband can trust him. He can trust her. Says she'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. It says that she's strong, you know. She's has character. She's excellent in all of her ways. And that's what that means, virtuous. It means she's strong and she's excellent in all of her ways. She provides for her own household. And it goes on, and I won't go through all this. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. And it says, she shall rejoice in time to come. This kind of living is not in vain, folks. Serving the Lord is not in vain. It'll pay off every time. I'm telling you, it may not pay off when you want it to or when you're expecting it, but it will not be in vain. Says she opened her mouth with wisdom. She's smart, you know. And it says, her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. And her children rise up and call her blessed. Mother's Day comes around, you know, they'll want to come and say, thank you, Mama, for praying for me. Or they'll send you a card and express their love. They might come over to your house and eat with you if you'll fix the dinner. Or they might invite you over to their house and they'll fix the dinner. But you see, a virtuous woman has excellent qualities. Young men, look for a woman with excellent qualities. You don't want to... I better not say that. Anyway, it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And said, give to her the fruit of her loins. Now, there's a lot of other things I was going to say. I'm going to talk about Mary just for a minute. Now, Mary was a virtuous woman. I don't know how old Mary was. Doesn't matter how old she was. She was engaged to a fine young man. And according to Hebrew tradition, they would become engaged, espoused to each other. Everybody knew it. One of these days, they're going to get married. And they usually waited a year from the time they were engaged until the day they got married. So they were engaged. And one day the Holy Spirit, or an angel of the Lord, spoke to Mary. Said, Mary, thou art highly favored with God. I don't know if I can remember all this without reading it again or not. But he said, the Lord is with you. And you are highly favored among women, of all the women, of all the world. Mary was chosen by God to give birth to his son. Now, Mary didn't have an illicit affair. She did not know a man. She had had no affair. The Bible says that, and I want to press this. The Bible says that marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and fornicators, God will judge. So, you know, just determine in your heart and mind right now, I am not going to indulge in illicit affairs. I'm going to preserve my body for the man or the woman that I marry. And God, He highly favored Mary above all women. The angel told her how it's going to be. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. You're going to conceive. And you'll have a child. Mary said, how can this be? You know, it's humanly speaking, you know. Couldn't be. But he reminded her, nothing's impossible with God. And she said, be it unto thee, to me, according to thy word. She was really sensitive to the will of God, what God wanted. She wasn't thinking about herself. She was thinking about what God wanted. Well, Joseph had a dream. I told you, he's a fine young man. He respected her. And I would say, you girls, if you go out with a boy and he don't respect you, you let that be your last time you go with him. Same way with the girls. There was a time when, you know, the boy was the aggressor. And I'm told nowadays that it's right the opposite. It's the girl that's the aggressor. Don't be guilty of that. You want to grow up to be a virtuous woman. And it has to start when you're young, when you're a teenager. You have to determine in your heart and in your mind, you know, I'm going to be true to God and true to myself. I'm not going to bring shame upon myself and upon my family. It's important, folks. Anyway, he had this dream, and he'd been thinking about, man, what am I going to do? Now, the law of Moses says, if the woman I'm engaged to, if she is found to be faithful, I can put her away, and I can even have her stoned to death. But that wasn't the kind of a man he was. While he thought on this, the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Because that holy thing which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She had not been with a man. A miracle took place. God planted His seed in her womb. She had not been unfaithful to Joseph. Not in the least. And so he took her to wife. They got married. But the Bible says he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. They had no relations until after Jesus was born. Then they had other children. But you see, Mary, she was a good example, wasn't she? And Joseph was too.
I guess I'll quit. I got a lot of things I could say. I want you to know I love you, and I haven't preached like this to be mean. I don't want to be mean. I want to respect and honor all young people. I want to respect and honor all adults, all mothers, all fathers. It's not my intentions to hurt anybody. But I want to tell you the truth. I want you to form your life in such a way that when you have your own home, you'll be proud. You'll be thankful. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. You'll be thankful that God gave you the grace and the strength to be strong and to be virtuous and to be modest. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. I love you all. I love you. You've been a part of my life for a long time. A long, long time. I want God's best blessings on all of you, and especially our mothers. Thank you all so much for coming to church today and being a part of this Mother's Day service. Any testimony before we close?
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Anyone else?